Good evening. Welcome to the Planning Zone Commission meeting for the City of Bettendorf, June 15th, 2011. Roll call, please.
Bennett. Gallagher.
Here.
Kepler.
Here.
Voss.
Here.
Rafferty.
Here.
Stoltenberg.
Here.
Wendland.
Here.
You've all received the minutes of the meetings of May 18th, either in the mail or electronically. Do I have any additions or corrections?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minutes as submitted.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. As I said, this is the Planning Zone Commission meeting for the City of Bettendorf, and we are a recommending body to the City Council. We recommend on certain items that are properly before us. Tonight we have a final plat, some site development plans, and an ordinance to discuss. We are interested in your input when the item that you're interested in comes before us. Normally we will discuss it amongst ourselves for a while, and it's at a time that it lulls the discussion, I'll look to the audience and ask for any input. When I do that, I would ask that you raise your hand or somehow so I can acknowledge you, and then I would ask that you go to the podium on your left, my right, at the back of the room, and tell us who you are and provide us with the input that you feel is relevant to the issues before us. So the first item, actually it's the fourth item on the agenda, but the first item for action as a final plat, it's case 11037. It's Shutter Farm First Edition. It's submitted by Joy Development Properties, LLC. Greg, would you give us a staff report, please?
Mr. Chairman, this site is outside the city limits. You've got Valley Drive right here, US 67 right here. You can approach the site here or down Valley. And effectively what you're seeing here in this outlined area, this is the parcel in question. This is brought to you before, and now it's undergone some changes. The area coming down Valley, this would be the approach to 247th Avenue that would be taken to get into the development. And this is the preliminary plat showing the means of access in 247th Avenue. These are turnarounds right here that allow access for fire and other type vehicles to make turnarounds, as opposed to this being a street that is not a through street. You got Spencer Creek down here with two outlot areas here. This is the final plat of Shutter Farm First Edition. Basically, you're looking at a 9-lot subdivision, with lot number 9 potentially being set up for a future subdivision, the access coming out here, but that's something that will have to be in waiting. And then also, given the nature of this being outside our city limits but within the 2-mile consideration area, the folks over there in the county will also have a look at this to see if it would pass further standards. Staff in reviewing this recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask if there are any questions.
Could you quickly tell us what changes were made from the last time we saw this?
I don't know that there were a great deal of changes made. I think the lot configurations were changed somewhat. I believe the easement was added here for future sanitary, and I think that the outlots were changed to some extent. Not much else has changed. But I think the lot configurations were set up a little bit differently. Not much though else. I think there might have been also a plat note on this that was different.
Okay. Nothing that
nothing's really substantial.
The subdivision mm-hmm. itself. Any questions from anybody else on the commission?
Just one question, Greg. If if lot 9 were to be subdivided, how many parcels could that be divided into?
Well, it depends on the way in which the approach would be made, potentially off of Valley Drive. But you're looking maybe about like 2 or 3 parcels that could, given the constraints of the site, that possibly could originate. I don't know that much more could come out.
Yeah, it's just an odd-shaped, sized parcel. Thank you.
Anything else from the commission? Anyone in the audience wish to address us in connection with this matter? I don't see anyone. Okay. What's your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 11-037, the final plat for the Shutter Farm First Edition, as submitted and subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion is carried. The next item, number five on the agenda, is the site development plan, case 11-022. It's 2185 53rd Avenue, submitted by Mike Mead, McDonald's, which has actually been deferred since the May 18th meeting. Greg, would you give us an updated staff report, please?
Mr. Chairman, this is the location right here. The lot in question is in shaded in green. This is the site. Looking out this direction is 53rd. Here's Falcon. And then the parcel is outlined pretty much in red. And you can see this somewhat area the way I had it sort of staked out. This is the plat, and these are the notes that are governing. There were certain notes on the plat that directly relate to all the lots, and there's some that have certain specifics. But for the most part, these notes do play a role in what goes on in the plat, and we made sure that those constraints were met. Last time around, when this came forward to this body, the building was located in this approximate area here where the brown structure outline is, and I've highlighted that in the magenta color, showing approximately where the building was in the past. That meant that the drive-through would come in through this area, and you would have an order area here. The location was much closer to the residential in these areas here at that time. The petitioner has since moved the building so that it is now over here in the green location, and that structure is the current location with a drive-through that goes over in this direction. And I can show that much more clearly here, that the drive-through and window, along with some of the other externalities like the dumpster, going much further away. The dumpster, I believe, is located in this spot last time we spoke and saw this, so that much of the building has been moved as far north as it realistically can be. In order to accommodate this area, there was a variance granted by the Board of Adjustment last Thursday to permit this drive area, because it's a drive area that is not perpendicular coming off of Falcon. That board ruling permitted that particular drive to go into this locale. So in terms of moving the building and then restructuring the site plan and then meeting our setback requirement here off to 53rd, the drive was put almost right up to the line. There's maybe like 2 feet distant between this drive and where the setback line is. So the building has been resituated. You do have your underground detention here. You've got that underground detention being conveyed into the drainage easement area out here. The petitioner basically would feature this type building. The building hasn't changed any from what it was as presented to you initially, so you're still getting the same structure in a different location. The landscaping is laid out in such a manner that the tree count was met. There's also a 6-foot wall that would be placed up in this locale, along with plenty of evergreen type plantings to try to buffer this area from the surrounding neighborhood. As well, these trees, arborvitae, would grow to a certain height beyond that 6-foot high fence, and the way that they are placed in here would provide more of a buffer location. Staff, in reviewing this, recommends approval with the conditions that were listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
Yes, Greg, could you tell me just how far the fence extends on, I guess that would be, what, the west side?
I believe it goes up to this point, maybe right here.
And then there's a chain link fence that goes...
Right, it starts here and then it runs up here.
All right, okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, on the plat note, Greg, there's a reference, you find it, number six, it said the developer shall construct a berm and landscape the 25-foot buffer easement. Is that on the south side of the fences? Am I recollecting?
That was already conducted. When this was rezoned, that berm area was already placed in. And then the buffer area, there is a 25-foot separation right here. So, in effect, that area was already taken care of in terms of the past practices of development. If you look at that now, there's a berm out there, and I'll try to show it on this photo. I'd like to be able to...
I can see it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's a berm that runs up in this area right here. That's where it already is.
What's there is meets the criteria of the plat at this point.
Yes.
Okay. And then can you identify for me too, Greg, on the site plan, if we know, and if not, maybe the developer can show me, where will the boxes be for the ordering on the drive-through?
I think maybe the designer could indicate where those will be. I believe they're here tonight, the McDonald's.
Greg, I think the landscape plan shows it pretty clearly if you want to go to the landscape plan.
That's just before, that, just into those, that berm.
There you go.
Built. Yeah, okay.
All right. Is that right? Thank
you. And then one last question, Greg. I know we've got a sign for Bettendorf out there somewhere. Does that incorporate in this lot or no?
No, that sign is not a part of this lot.
And will there be a monument sign for this, or what will be out there?
There is a sign, and I believe it's
right here is a sign.
Right here.
Got it. Okay. Thanks.
And that sign will meet with this, with respect to the sign ordinances as far as location is concerned?
That's correct.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Okay. I note there's a lot of people in the audience, and I suspect you have a lot of input to put in for this matter. Not wishing to stifle your input, but I would appreciate it if you would try not to be overly repetitive. I know there's a park board meeting in here at 7 o'clock, and so we are interested in your input, so let's try to not be too redundant. Does anybody wish to address us? Yes, ma'am.
Penny Jagers, I'm at 5200 Dove Court. And I guess I have more of a question to start with. So I'm at the southwest corner. And my question is, in that corner, is there just a 5-foot chain link fence then? Because currently I have a 5-foot or a 6-foot privacy fence, and that allows no visual screening at all to that property because I sit up a little bit. So the berm does not extend into that area at all, and so I'm confused about the berm doesn't come that far.
Greg, can you explain where the again put the drawing up and show where the berm is and where that fence is?
I do, however, like the plan much better. I will say that.
the berm would go over to this point here, but there's nothing further extended beyond.
It doesn't go that far.
Doesn't?
The berm doesn't.
It doesn't come onto my lot at all, and it's stops before their lot ends. So it's actually, this chain link would allow, you know, I'm just asking for a little bit of visual screening. There's no visual screening at all. If there were, the berm was to extend, then there would be some visual screening with the fence on top of that. So that was my concern. I'm trying to keep it.
Greg, if we go back to Roy's question about the berm, in order to comply with the notes on the plat, would the berm need to extend farther to the west?
I think that the berm was at least supposed to be constructed here and throughout the rest of the area. I don't know that those notes.
This is lot one.
On that drawing, I think that the property we're talking about is I'll call it the southwest corner of lot one, way back in the corner there.
Mm-hmm. It said that the developer shall construct, so I don't know if that note has passed on to the lot owner, and then it said that the owners of lots 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and their successors shall maintain the buffer. So I know it's iffy. That's something that we would, the developer McDonald's would have to take a look at that. What they've done in lieu of that is, I believe, if they want to go into the construction details of what will be here as to the 6-foot high fence and any potential retaining wall that that fence may sit on, I think that they would be better versed in that detail for that design as opposed to the berm here, because once this berm gets up to a certain height, you can only have the berm being a certain height in order for it to be maintained at a 3-to-1 slope. So if they would like to elaborate on what they intend to do here, this may in fact provide more of a screening with these evergreens here than the berm. So I guess it's,
Bill Connors, do you have some input here?
Yeah, the city engineer and I have been discussing the berm issue because there is a sanitary sewer in that area, and because you only have 25 foot of width, and you have to maintain a certain maintainable slope on each side, the maximum height of that berm would be 4 foot in height. It could exist, should that be a condition. But there again, when you get to the end of the property on the west side, then again, you're going to have that slope, so it's going to have to taper off to the property line. You just can't deadhead it. So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you. Well, it looks like the screening that is proposed is the evergreen row and the fence on top of the retaining wall.
And again, I'll just say that from my property, that provides no screening at all, and I would just ask for some kind of screening, visual screening, which would also help with sound.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Next. Oh, come on, don't be bashful.
So while they're trying to,
yes, sir.
Let me ask the question then. What kind of visual screening do we have in that corner? I take it that we have a 6-foot high fence, and then we have on the, let's say, the neighborhood side of that, we have some arborvitae that have been planted. So they would grow up however tall arborvitae get. Is there a retention or retaining wall that is that would make that 6-foot fence higher?
Yes, I mean, that's, we discussed this with the petitioner before, and the retaining wall would be about 4 feet in height. Then you place a 6-foot high fence on top of it, and because it's outside the setback area, they don't need to comply with a fenced in area, you know, within the setback. That's the design that we had discussed with the petitioner. And then also the planting of the arborvitae, which we even grow higher than the fence, is the other way in which to, that we felt would be best to help screen this whole area, because they'll be able to grow and fill in.
Sure. So basically, you have a 10-foot high just fence and wall that is from the pavement, if you will, on the McDonald side. That's a 10-foot high barrier. So then on the other side of that, you would have these evergreens that could grow up taller than the 6-foot high. And the retaining wall gives us a berm, essentially, that it would be as high, or let's say ground, that it would be as high as a berm because of the narrowness we have of this area. Okay, thank you.
But I think the question was that the property in the southwest corner was elevated, is that correct? So that it would I mean that full 10 feet, you know, plus the evergreens wouldn't shield it.
Not with a chain link.
Mm-hmm. It's not a chain link fence. It's a
board
on board fence.
That's why I said it was more of a question, because I wasn't understanding what was there.
Maybe, Greg, if you could go over again where the chain link fence is and
chain
where the board-on-board
is. Chain link fence begins right here, and it's within this area. And this L shape here shows the board fence.
Okay. And is that entire length of the board fence on top of a four-foot retaining wall?
I don't believe the entire length is. I believe that
corner.
This area down here, and I believe maybe this portion here, but that again, the petitioner can elaborate on that.
Ted, you want to help us out?
Yeah, yes, Ted Ravitzer, representing McDonald's. Where the arborvitaes are proposed there is, it's overlaid on top of a topographical survey that was done. It's somewhat difficult to make out from a distance here, but if you stand on the site, there is a 2 to 3 foot change in elevation from where the drive is at to that darker shaded area to the bottom of the photo. That's shown on the screen currently. So there has been a berm installed in that area.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Sorry I'm late. Hope I don't repeat anything.
No, you're fine.
My name
fine.
Is Dave Bernson. I was here the last time.
Yes.
5177 Dove Court. I'm the guy who stutters, so bear with me. If I spit something out, you might want to move. My wife spoke for me the last time, and I'm also the guy who enjoys reading the code, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a little bit of code since last time, and I found out you guys do this for free, so I just want to thank you for, you know, the hard work you do considering this and everything else you do for our town. And at the last meeting, unlike the Board of Adjustments meeting, it was pretty clear that you listened to us. You didn't only listen to us, but you brought a lot of new ideas to the table as well when you guys had your discussion at the end. And even though I strongly continue to oppose having any fast food restaurant anywhere in Bettendorf next to a single family home, because that was never part of a 1985 master plan or your current master plan to have R2 and C2 hit, and we know how in 92 that got messed up when the C5 zoning was pulled out. I still believe that a lot of good came out of that last meeting with our input and your input, and I commend you for coming up with a better site plan here. But this has to go through. It's an improvement over what was before, and I'm glad we just didn't rubber stamp the first one, and I want to thank you. The one thing I wanted to talk about was, and I think you were just talking about it, was the screening. If you look at the berm all the way down Lindenwood to Dove Court, mm-hmm. and behind lots 2 and 3 or whatever is Jan's lot and the Lundys and Franks, it's quite a bit higher, about 5 feet. At the one end next to Penny's house, where the McDonald's would abut our property, it's not 2 to 3 feet there. It's 2 to 3 feet at the far end going up to where that property lines all three meet, basically, in the lower right-hand side. So I know last meeting Pete Moe talked about the berm at Frank's and how subsequently Burke's and even the strip mall across the street, Crow Ridge on 18th, how you know, they were all held accountable for putting a 6-foot-high fence on top of about a 5-foot berm, giving them anywhere from 10 to 12 feet of being screened, and put trees up there and stuff like that. And I know that, and I'm going to get a lot of these names wrong. I looked them up today and reviewed the video, but I believe Commissioner Rafferty, that's going to be hard for me. Paul would be so much easier, but Rafferty.
Paul's fine, I think. Go ahead.
I remember you expressed some concern about a way to improve the buffer to the point where you asked if the line that runs back there, the sanitary line, could be moved to the north. And I remember that when city staff put their heads together and talked over here, that they agreed that there was no reason that line couldn't be moved. There'd be a cost, but there was no reason it couldn't be moved and extend that to the north, especially since it's going to have to run to McDonald's anyhow, and it dead ended out in the field out there. And then I remember later on that Commissioner Wendlin, hope I'm getting that right, he agreed with your suggestions in the thing. And then Commissioner Bennett, I don't believe I see her here tonight, but she also expressed concerns that she didn't believe there was adequate buffering back there, and that the trees don't especially get the job done, especially inside of the lack of the berm. So all this leads me to the conclusion that the precedence for a berm equivalent to the ones that are behind Frank's and all those other lots and all the way down Crow Ridge, the presence of a berm of that size with a 6-foot fence on top of there, that there's a consensus among the members of this commission and among the neighbors who live out there that this should be a part of that site plan. Like I say, it's a vast improvement over the first one, and that's about the only thing I can really come up with. So it's relatively short. I know other people who talk about the traffic and things like that, and but there is one thing I'd like to give a shortened version of. We're putting a document together and we'll present it to the council and stuff like this, but, and I'm only bringing it up, and I don't know if it's under your jurisdiction, but Commissioner, I'm going to find the name again, Wendlin, did I get that right? You opened this up at the end of the meeting the last time, and since you opened it up, I think it's fair game to respond to it. And we've heard this at the Board of Adjustments meetings, it's been written in several of the staff reports, and that is this idea that, you know, we should have expected this, that we should have realized when we bought our homes that commercial was going to go in behind us. And I won't argue that point. We knew it was C2. But it's not that simple. And I'll give you my perspective of, because it's opinions, and everybody has one. I bought my home in 1994. And all where we live, there are a lot of smart professional people out there who do their due diligence when making a purchase of this size. And in 1994, when I bought my home, I've got the code. I didn't bring it with me tonight. I got the 1994 code, and it would have taken a lot more than one special. Now, the realtor, of course, told me, you know, it's going to be an office building, a doctor's office, 9 to 5, 5 days a week. And I know you can't always, there's a gray area in there, and you can't always believe what the realtor's going to say. And I took Latin for 4 years up in high school and in Dubuque, and I understand the caveat emptor part and let the buyer beware. So, yeah, I got the code. And I looked at that code, and I determined that there was not an allowed use, not just for a drive-up, drive-in, drive-through, whatever, not even for care, you know, for carry-out food. Frank's had to get that in 1995. Now it's been added to the allowed use as item ZZ or something. I don't have the code in front of me. So when I bought that home, looking into this, first of all, I looked at the allowed uses, and I didn't expect that, you know, I would have to look down at the special uses, because special uses and exemptions or exceptions and very, you know, and those kinds of things that the Board of Adjustments deals with, those seems to me to be well, by their very term, exception, that they're a rarity, and they're not an allowed use. They're a special use. So I wouldn't have expected that the Board of Adjustments would approve every special use permit that they've seen for the last 7 years, or that I should have to look into how they vote on special use permits. The other thing is, and I'm just going to say Paul, I don't mean to offend you, it's just easier. But you brought up a very good point in the video last time, too, and that is you were surprised that that wasn't not a prohibited use because of the drive-in thing. Yep. And you can go to, what is it, Section 5 of Appendix B with the DEP, where it defines everything, and look at the definition up for drive-in. And, you know, it's easy for everyone to say now today, it's a Sonic. When I moved here in 1994, there wasn't a Sonic. Why would I expect that? Why would I not look at that and think, you know, there's no way that somebody from the inside could help people on the outside, as the definition for a drive-in defines it. It doesn't say they walk out there like an A&W or a Sonic. So it's not in the code. These are interpretations that are being made today and are being applied to this case today. But it's not an interpretation. It's not written in the code. And so, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking it's not an allowed use. Looks like it's a prohibited use. And exception or special use is probably rather rare. Now, of course, I learned that it's not so rare. So I don't think it's fair necessarily to assume that for everyone, because the code's changed a great deal in those years. And another thing about when the code changes like that, and I'll just take stormwater retention or something, because that seems to be a very hot issue the last 5 or 6 years, and the code gets changed, and yet it's going forward with new developments that that code applies to, and the people who built before are protected under the old code, they're grandfathered in, even people who haven't built, but maybe have had a plat or approved within the last 3 years, I believe, or something like that. The new code doesn't apply to them, they're protected. And I think that's the same case here. We bought under and did our diligence and studied this, expecting, you know, we didn't have a crystal ball. We didn't know things were going to change the way they did. So where's the protection for us, rather than you guys should have expected this? Yes, I expected any one of those allowed uses to go in. McDonald's or a fast food restaurant was not one of them. So I just want to clear that up, because a lot of the neighbors are, you know, we're getting a little tired hearing that. You know, because we don't think that people who are saying this are in our shoes and understand the amount of time we spent when we bought that house to see what would go in back there. And it's only because of a fluke in 1992 that we're even here today. And I just wanted to clarify that point, that I just don't think that's, in every case, a fair assessment to make, that we should have expected this 17 plus years ago, looking at the code as it was written then, before a Sonic was ever built, and the fact that it looks like it's prohibited. Unless you expect people who buy homes to go to that level, to drill down to that level of research, to know what they're getting into. Anyhow, I hope I didn't upset you. I really appreciate all the work and stuff you've done for us. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. Very thoughtful comment. Yes, sir. Well, I'll get you in a minute.
Yeah. Hi, my name is David Fenton. I live at 5182 Dove Court. Just to give you some relationship. Dave lives directly south of this area in the first residential property. Penny lives to his west. I live in the house to the west of Penny. And so we're kind of the end of that cul-de-sac area. And I wanted to point out that I am very concerned with what David mentioned, but more importantly, Penny's point around buffering and shielding. I would ask that you ask the developers to take a much harder look at that. David talked about the 6-foot berm with the trees and the fence on top of it. There's a property directly to the west of this, which is currently zoned agricultural. It is the last property in Bettendorf. And its anticipated use is an office transitional property. Our homes on Dove Court and sit above the properties surrounding us. It's kind of, it must have been a hilltop area at one time. So when you look out our backyards, we see quite a distance. My backyard is the farm field, Sophie Foster's farm field. And we had a lot of discussions last year with the city of Davenport regarding that rezoning effort and the buffering and the needs and all of those things that took place. And we came to a good compromise position. I'm concerned that if we aren't asking McDonald's in this transition area where they're talking about a 25-foot flat space with this 6-foot fence, and Penny's property, it's too bad we don't have a picture. You could stand on her deck and it is wide open. Whatever they put in this property, she will see it. And she has a 6-foot fence in her backyard and it provides her no buffering. My concern is I have a 6-foot fence attached to hers that transitions west. And if we aren't asking for that same 6-foot buffer with the tall trees and the fence on top of it on this corner, then it won't progress further down when that property is rezoned to office transitional, you know, sometime in the near future when they sell that property. So my request is that you ask the developer to make some significant improvements to buffering these residential owners from this.
Thank you. Ma'am.
Can I put one pause in there just for a second for clarity, and maybe it'll address a little bit of what you guys are raising relative to the berm. Bill, you had addressed or made reference to the width of the slope in your conversation with Denny, and can you just kind of re-describe again what the exact dimensions are, what we can have as far as total height based on the 3-to-1 slope and the requirements, just so we're clear on, from a physical standpoint, what's possible?
If you've got 25 foot of area, that's your buffer area. You have a 4-foot high slope, you have a 3-to-1, or 4-foot high berm, you have a 3-to-1 slope on both sides. So that's going to give you really 12 foot. So that brings your berm up to a point in the middle of that 25. You might be able to have a 1-foot flat spot unless you encroach outside of that area. And that's what's considered good practice, so you have a maintainable slope so you can get up there and mow and maintain it.
So given that constraint, what is the practical maximum height that the berm can be?
4 foot.
4 foot.
Within that 25 foot.
Within the 25 foot. And that is what I want to make sure everybody understands, and it's clear for everybody here too, that because of the width of the 25 foot easement, from a normal good practice construction standpoint, the maximum height the berm can practically be is 4 feet. So we are at what would be considered the maximum. Okay.
But we do have a practice already on the east side that is above that.
That I don't know.
The berm that's existing is higher than that today.
And I don't know if that's beyond the 25-foot slope. I don't know. I'm just listening to what they're saying as far as construction. So
the existing berm, I think, is well in excess. And Denny, you've seen it, well in excess of the 3-to-1 recommended slope.
Yeah, I
think it is. Yeah. And we have had issues with the maintenance of that berm from time to time. We get calls from the neighbors that the owner of the adjoining property is not doing a proper job of maintaining it, and I think part of that could be because it's such a steep slope and it's not easily maintained.
Yeah, okay. All right, sorry.
Could I interject one thing here, just a point of clarification for me? I heard the discussion about the 4-foot retaining wall with a 6-foot fence, which gives us 10 feet. If you put a 6-foot fence on a 4-foot berm, it's still 10 feet. But I did hear reference to, and I think my recollection is, that the berm to the east has taller trees on it, fuller-sized trees. And if that's the case, then that gives you much more screening if you put a tree that's going to grow to a larger height on the top of the berm. That gives you much more screening than what you would get with the arborvita on the 4-foot retaining wall. And to me, that seems more uniform from the berm as it extends to the east, and eventually would get more screening.
You're suggesting moving the arborvitae back to the top of the berm?
Well, there's a difference between an arborvitae and a deciduous tree that's going to grow 30, 40 feet tall. And I don't know what kind of trees are on that berm down at the other end, but they're not arborvitaes.
But arborvitae would be a screening 12 months out of the year.
That's true. And it would deciduous. Be screening right now.
Yeah.
How tall does, I don't know trees, but how a mature arborvitae is how tall?
8, 10. I have arborvitae in my yard, and I'm looking at 25 feet for mm-hmm. sure.
I guess I don't know what that tree is.
And yeah, they get quite high.
Those trees are probably 20 years old, but they're 25, a good 25.
They're fast growing. They're a fast-growing tree too. Mm-hmm. They're very dense, and that's the good thing about an arborvitae for screening, is that they're so dense. So.
And they are coniferous, so that screening's available year-round.
Right.
Is the 25-foot buffer the same as it is farther to the east? I mean, the width of it.
It is.
It is. Is the big issue that the more the storm sewer or the sanitary sewer, is that really what the drawback is for the to increase the height of the berm?
I don't know definitely that it is, and Denny can speak to that.
The existing sanitary sewer through that easement is clay pipe, and typically our specifications require ductile iron pipe over 16 feet. And that sanitary sewer is about, I would say, 8 feet deep. So we could conceivably.
Physically, you could put another 6 feet or so on there.
Right. The problem, and again, the problem is, as I mentioned before, if we ever had to dig that up, that berm and the arborvitae or whatever screening is on that berm is going to have to go.
Mm-hmm.
That you always run into that situation. We've corrected that problem from years past in that now we require ductile iron in all easements, but that doesn't help this situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, you go ahead.
Sure, I'm Mandy Brown. I live at 5153 Dove Court, and my concerns not only are the visual situations, but the noise and the smell, that no matter what height the berm is going to be, we're still going to hear the orders being taken and the cars driving up and taking off and the gas and the smell of the fried foods. I feel this is such a poor choice for location. I'm so disappointed that the city is continuing to move this forward. There are other options in Bettendorf in that area that would work. Go to the north side of 53rd. There's all the mature trees that buffer St. Andrews. There are empty lots over there. Why not move it on the other side instead of inconveniencing so many homeowners? We're going to look at a reduction in our property values, and this is very disappointing. And if just along the lines of those trees you guys are speaking of, if that's what's going to go in our arborvitaes, I would like to have at least a commitment that they are not young trees, that they are fairly mature trees, because I have arborvitaes in my backyard as well to buffer. I've got actually pretty good privacy, and it does take several years for them to grow, and we're still waiting for them to get to the height that we would like. But I just, please consider the homeowners that did buy the house, did buy in that area, and we did realize it was going to be commercial, obviously, but not drive-throughs. It doesn't make sense. The traffic is going to be horrendous on 18th and 53rd. People that drive that on a regular basis, Scott Stoltenberg, you live in that area, you drive, it is going to be a nightmare. And I just don't think that people are prepared for it. I, you know, McDonald's couldn't tell you how much traffic they're going to bring. It's going to be huge. People are waiting for a fast food restaurant out there. I get that. Not in my backyard. You know, that's the concern. I'm all for, you know, business development and growth, but not in my backyard. There are plenty of other options that we can have there. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Rich Baltazore. I live at 2324 Lindenwood Drive. In fact, my property is directly behind Frank's Pizza. So I can attest to the value of the berm and the wall and the deciduous trees and all that kind of stuff. For the most part, we don't know Frank is back there. I mean, the light standards that they have back there, I think, are probably 20, 25-foot light standards, and we don't even know they're there. That, so I would attest to the fact that that sort of screening, if you will, is very important. Secondly, we're just homeowners who happen to own homes there. They're trying to protect the property value. We don't have access to all the codes, and nor do we have the time to do that, nor really the interest in doing that. I've sat in chairs in these chambers before. I know you have a tough job, and it's always not in my backyard. I understand that. But I would just ask you to consider, all of you have been to a McDonald's, I would imagine. You're un-American if you haven't. All of you have been to McDonald's. Remember what it smells like. Remember what it sounds like. Remember the amount of traffic. Remember the type of traffic. Remember how hard it was to get on the street as you were exiting the McDonald's parking lot. If you will think about all those things, I believe that if you lived in our houses, you wouldn't want it there either. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm Matthew Rice. I live at 2350 Hunter. I frequently walk that neighborhood, many of my neighbors and friends. Simple question first, what is the actual runoff plan for this property? What is direction sloping that this is actually supposed to run off to? The berm is germane, obviously, but if...
Yeah, the berm is to remain. The vast majority of the falling rainwater in this site is going to be stored, released at a two-year rate, and it's going to go out to the Falcon 53rd intersection to the existing storm sewer there.
Okay, so sloping is to be away from the properties. Understand.
Fort 53rd, that's correct.
Okay. What's the signage maximum height that's provided by McDonald's as well as the lighting maximum height?
Criteria for a maximum height for a sign, if you're within 15 foot of the front property line, you can be 20 foot in height. If you're within the buildable area, which would be 25 foot back from the property line, you can be a height of 30 foot.
Okay.
There is no dimension on this sign. It's a mark on the site development plan. At the time they come in to get their sign permit, they will have to meet the criteria of our ordinance.
So we're talking lighting that is 25 to 30 feet high with screening walls that are 10 feet high with properties that extend about 20 feet in height above that.
Well, let me make a clarification. I told you what the ordinance says. It's up to McDonald's to decide how high they want their sign and how high they want their site lighting. We do have an ordinance that requires any site lighting that you have, i.e. parking lot lights, those types of things, to have shields so it downcasts and does not reflect on the adjoining property.
So what I'm hearing, though, is even though the lighting is shielded, we have an open issue potentially with the property owners who bound that area having lighting that would be directly reflecting into their houses in the evenings.
I don't think that's what I said. I think that's what you said, but well, you're allowed to say that. Yes, sir.
We have an open bound, though, on the sign, correct, that still has to be approved.
That is correct.
Okay. And then security lighting that is to be directed downward such that it would not impact the neighbors.
That is correct.
Okay. I have another question. The 3-to-1 slope. You stated repeatedly that it is a good practice. Is it a practice or is it a code requirement? The 3-to-1 slope for the berm.
It's not specifically specified in our code, no.
So basically, it could be extended higher at the request of the neighborhood. Is that correct?
Yeah, it could be extended higher.
So that would extend the shielding much higher, potentially.
I would appreciate it if you didn't add to my sentences and try to express your concerns through my sentence.
Okay. And basically, that is my point. So.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Ann Schwister, 4920 Bob White Court. My property butts up to the retention pond that is south of Hunter. Is any of that going to feed into the retention pond? If you're on Hunter, I'm like, two blocks south of them. If you're on Hunter and you turn in and you're on the west side, then you turn into that Bob White cul-de-sac, and there is a big retention pond that totally fills as it is now. So will any of that runoff be added to that retention pond?
As I said before, the outlet of the detention, the on-site detention at this site, is going to the storm sewer that's on the intersection of Falcon and 53rd.
So that won't affect the retention pond at all?
Well, I'm not going to say that because I think the storm sewer, I can't recall where that storm sewer runs. I think it runs down 18th. And when it gets to the low point on 18th, I can't recall if it's above or below the detention area that you're talking about. But irregardless, what I'm saying is that by ordinance, this site requires detention. And what we've done under the ordinance is change the release rate required from a 5-year storm down to a 2-year storm, which significantly reduces the amount of the flow rate leaving that site. So the effect, actually, with construction is going to be less than you have now, if that makes sense.
Well, I just know how hard my neighbors and I had to mm-hmm. work with the city 20 years ago when we mm-hmm. built, to have them get a drain in that retention pond and have the flow decreased from the way it came up because right. it was flooding our properties. Right. So we don't need anything more that's going to add to that. And then the other thing that I certainly agree with all of the neighbors is there's a lot of difference between on 18th and 53rd, like the grill and bakery that's going in and the Red Crow grill compared to McDonald's. There's a huge difference. And the only mention 20 years ago was that maybe buildings like a State Farm office might go on that corner. So definitely nothing on the fast foods. And you're going to have the high school kids racing up there on their lunch breaks. And it is going to, there's going to be needing more security, more traffic control. So I have a lot of concerns about that.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Julie Burnton. I live at 5177 Dove Court, pretty much behind the McDonald's. One of the things that was brought up at the initial meeting to get the special use permit was the similar intensity of the businesses in the area. One of the things that was talked about were was the hours that McDonald's could potentially be open, which is not of similar intensity to any of the other businesses in that area. I'm wondering if that can be addressed with our homes right behind there and the squawk boxes, as we affectionately call them, potentially being open all night and potentially never being able to open our windows again. Wondered if there were some limitations that we could put on the hours of business, since it is supposed to be of similar intensity as the other businesses that are in that area, which goes back to the buffer area as well. It seems to me that if everything else is similar, the buffer area should be similar as well. And I too am concerned then about public safety, vandalism, trespassing, and in essence I'm going to not only suffer from the loss of property value of McDonald's going in, but as well as incur the cost of probably having to put a fence across the back of my property to ensure that my son and my property are safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Tom?
Mr. Chair, board members, Tom Pasternak. I'm the attorney representing the developer McDonald's in this matter. And despite hearing the arguments of the neighbors, I think, in fact, McDonald's should be commended for what it's done. I mean, I've been a part of doing P&Z and councils for many a time, and I think McDonald's worked hard to at least address your concerns as well as the neighbors to do what they need to do. But in the end, you know, commercial property owners have rights too. And I know that we don't want to hear the balance, but that's just it. Developers want to come to town, they want to build. And, you know, the issue is we have lots of protracted zoning fights to try to get things the way they are. But in this instance, we have a developer who's looked at the site, said it is commercial. I can use this site for my basis for what I want to do and how I want to do it. And in the end, many of the issues that are being broached here today are land use issues or zoning issues and really have no impact on what you need to do. The bottom line is it's a commercial property. And your issue today is to determine whether or not the site plan as proposed by McDonald's meets with Bettendorf City Code. I submit that it does. And I submit that's what you have to weigh when you make your vote. I do have McDonald's representatives here if you have any specific questions that you'd like to address. But at this point, I guess it's time to call for the vote. Thank you.
I have a question. Has McDonald's met with the neighborhood and since they have redone the plan?
They did. They had a neighborhood meeting simultaneously as our last Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. So I'll let McDonald's representative relay that information. But I do know they did meet with them subsequent to the first meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
Ted Rebitzer met, and we were told he was not paid to be there by the hour and was very short and curt with us. It was a waste of our time. Quite honestly, there was no one from McDonald's there, and it was very disappointing. I was missing, as I am now, my children's baseball games because this is very important to me. And at that point, I mean, they showed us the new plans, which, yeah, I agree. They are making steps to make it a nicer area. The bottom line is it shouldn't be there. So I understand that McDonald's is being cooperative in those steps, but they didn't meet with us, and it was a realtor that is wanting to get this off of his plate. and he was very short with us. So it wasn't a McDonald's representative.
Thank you. Any other questions from the commission? Anybody else? Any questions for the people from McDonald's? Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, I've got a couple, just some comments. Unfortunately, I think that we are faced with a situation where we can no longer say that McDonald's cannot be here. I know that everybody out there would probably love us to be able to say, no, you know, we can't do that. You're not allowed to put that McDonald's there. It's too whatever, too busy. Unfortunately, the situation that we have in front of us is it's here. So the best we can do is make it as amenable to the neighborhood as we can. And I think one of the things that I would like to find out about is, you know, just can we make, I've heard pluses and minuses here, can we make the berm visual and screening to that to the east? I think that there should be some way that we can do that, whether we increase the height of this retaining wall or, you know, just go back to steeper slopes, you know, whatever is needed. I think we should try to make that berm not only for this property, but as one of the community members said, for the property further to the west. So I think that would be one thing. The other thing I think that we owe ourselves is to investigate just what is the noise and the other aspects of this McDonald's that could influence the property values of the neighborhood. I think that's those comments are highly of value to us, I think, in trying to make a decision as to what goes into this site plan to make it so that it does not negatively impact the neighborhood. I think we need to look into that. I don't know if we can do that tonight or not, but I think that's the other aspect that I would like to look at. That's
it. Okay. Anyone else? Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Just one point clarification. Are you saying, sir, that the city of Bedworth is legally bound to allow McDonald's to be placed at that location, and it's only a matter of controlling the development of the site?
What you say? I'd have to defer. When you say legally bound, I'd have to defer to our attorney, but I...
Rich, what he's going to say is yes, it's a permitted use in that zoning district.
We came here tonight to express opinions on that kind of stuff, and I think I need to leave here and know that there is no way that you can stop McDonald's from going there. It's simply a matter of controlling the development of the site.
I think that's right.
I think that's probably the case. Yes, sir.
This commission, your role is limited, but it still has to go before the council. And it can stop there, is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, no. The question that was asked is whether this is a permitted use in the zoning district, and it is. So a permitted use is allowed to go in, whether it's before this body or the city council. A permitted use is allowed to go in. So that you when the council hears it, I suppose the council, if it wanted to get into a lawsuit, could deny a permitted use, or it could change zoning, but there's this thing called investment-backed expectations. And generally when the council tries to deny property rights to property owners, the city's going to have some exposure in that event. I don't like giving legal advice to the citizens generally. My job is to represent the city and the city council in these matters. If the council asks, I'll provide advice to them. But generally, the staff's position and the expectation of this use is that it's a permitted use at that location. And some of the things that you have complained about or the complaints have been made about, such as the drive-through, it's now gone through Board of Adjustment and has been approved. So the City Council can't deny a drive-through at this point. That process is done.
Yeah. days to absorb all this and think about this, and we're not attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And when we finally did call to check on this, we found out that there's a 30-day window to appeal.
Yes, sir.
In this era of transparency in government and full disclosure, it would have been nice if they would have said you have the ability to appeal this within a 30-day period. Also, if in fact it comes to light that some of that decision, some of the information that they based their decision on was perhaps misinformation, do we have any choice then or any options?
If you wish to appeal, you have a statutory time frame in which to appeal. If you don't appeal within that time frame, unless there's some unusual good cause for the delay, you're not going to be heard by the court. So I guess the answer to you is, are you within your 30-day window to make the appeal? If you are, my advice would be to talk to an attorney if you wish to do that. If you don't wish to appeal at the end of the 30 days, it's going to be done.
Well, we never told we had that option.
Yeah. I don't think routinely any of the boards or commissions will say that, but I understand what you're saying.
I just like to make the comment that I would feel, I mean, I think that McDonald's has done a good job of restructuring everything. I just would like to maximize within some reason the amount of screening that we can do in that southwest area because of the slope of the land. Now, you know, if a 3-to-1 slope is what you should have for maintenance, you know, if you go further, you're going to have a maintenance issue. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're between a rock and a hard spot on this whole thing. But I'm not an engineer, and I don't have ideas on how to maximize it. Is, you know, perhaps there's another way of making a better screening between these properties? I don't know.
Why does the setback have to be 25 foot? Can it be 35 foot? Can it be 40 foot?
On the plat, there is, and Greg will show you, when property is platted, there's platted buildable area and setback and easement area. The dotted areas around the exterior of lot one, it's shaded in green, is either the setback or the easement areas, which traditionally are not allowed to be built on. So everything within that is normally going to be known as buildable area. So if at the time that this property was platted, if it would have been platted with a 40-foot buffer area, it certainly could have been 40 foot. But the plat shows 25 foot. So.
Can that be changed to a different
one? It's normally up to the property owners. The city doesn't come in and replat other people's property. It would be up to the property owner if he wants to make any changes to his plat.
To answer your question,
mm-hmm.
Can we increase the height of the berm? 3-to-1, as Bill said, is mowable. 2-to-1 is something I wouldn't personally go over, but a 2-foot horizontal to a 1-foot drop,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can put that berm at a 1-to-1 if you want, but I wouldn't recommend it.
You can't maintain it.
2-to-1 can be mowed. The problem is the higher you go with the berm, the harder it is to mow.
Mm-hmm.
You can mow it by hand. If you go 6 feet, you be the judge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody has to push that mower up the hill.
Right.
And it has to more than likely go up and down. But that can be done on a 2-to-1 slope. You're going to get 6 feet in height with the other 25 feet.
Do you know what the berm is behind Frank's? I mean, that thing's been there, I guess, since 94 or something. I mean, why can't we just match that?
I don't know what the berm height is there, okay. nor the slopes. I did not go out and look at it.
I don't think
It's done by hand.
But what Frank did was did the improvements where it was inspected and needed to have it behind. I didn't mean anything to do with it. Just covered with nice big river rock.
Oh, that's another option.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a ground cover.
It doesn't have to be grass.
Right. Mm-hmm. Could be a rock garden.
Right.
The berm's all mine.
if the 2-to-1 is the maximum feasible from your perspective, wouldn't want to reduce. I guess the next question I haven't heard from the McDonald's folks is that something they'd be willing to do then?
In lieu of that, though, would they also be willing to potentially put in a retaining wall that could have the same height? It may not be in the same location, but have the same height, and provide that fence on top of that retaining wall as an alternative. Just yeah. throw another option out.
Yeah,
for them.
We'll raise the fence.
Tim Vogel, McDonald's Corporation. We'd be willing to work with the city staff and look at that. I'm not an engineer either, so we've got some more folks here. But in order to, we're more than welcome to, or more than open. And welcome to look at that. We just don't know in terms of an engineering and architectural standpoint. We're not architectural, but in terms of grades and things like that, how that would be addressed. So.
Okay.
And I do want to clarify, too, as far as some of the things in terms of the landscaping. We do have every intention of having fir trees, arborvitaes. You know, they're not going to be deciduous trees there in the back. We'll put in the largest, per code, the type of tree that you know is fast growing and provides an adequate screen.
Bill, did you have something?
I think Greg's point was a good one. I mean, I think we're talking a lot about a berm where we're very constricted. Once you get to the buildable area of a lot, we no longer call a fence a fence. It's a structure, and it can meet the requirements of the structure. I'm looking in a C2 zoning district. Maximum height of the structure is 10 stories or 100 feet. They could theoretically put a 100-foot high fence there if they could engineer the thing that it would stand. So the buffer area was put in to comply with our ordinances to make sure that we didn't have commercial directly up to the residential neighborhood. Does it matter if that's just 25 foot of green grass if they have the buffer at the north end of that? So I think there's a lot of flexibility here in coming up with a solution that's going to be acceptable to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that can be worked on between here and City Council?
I'm willing to visit with the developer.
Okay.
The other question I got is, what about noise? You know, the last time they were here, we talked about hours of operation, that sort of thing. I don't know that I'm willing to, or that I want to get into limiting somebody's hours of operation, but is it something, I don't know, do we know how loud these speakers are? Do we know how far away they're going to be heard? Is there any kind of restrictions we can put on the decibel levels coming out of a speaker that says, hey, it only can be heard, you know, 10 feet away from a car or something? I don't know. Go ahead.
I have a little bit of experience at noise levels and how to meter them, because we had an issue with some generators a while back, so I've spent a lot of time looking at this. 60 decibels, 4 foot above the grade level at the property line between the residential and commercial. My experience tells me that if this speaker is 250 foot away from the residential property line, because I do go out with the police department when we have these complaints as part of our code enforcement, I can honestly say I don't think there is a chance it's going to exceed our ordinance limits.
So that's our ordinance level, 60 decibels at the property line?
4 foot above grade
four
level,
above, yes.
And Bill, that would be an enforceable item at any time the development or business exceeded an ordinance level for noise.
That is correct. Just so you know, we had an issue with a portable gas-powered generator that was some 10 foot away from adjoining property. That was coming in at about 75 decibels at 4 foot above the property line. We put just a privacy fence up, just 1 8-foot section there, and I cut that about 10, 12 decibels, and that's only 15 foot away from the property line. So okay. I think the chances that it would exceed ordinance with a speaker 250 foot away is probably very, very slim.
But that's something that you're going to have to or have the opportunity to test if there's a question.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, if I might also add to that, our noise ordinance is measured at the receiving point of the noise. And in a residential district, after 10 p.m., the sound level limit drops from 60 decibels to 50 decibels. So in the late evening hours, it's expected that in residential districts, sounds are reduced. Measurement after 10 o'clock would be for a 50 decibel issue as opposed to 60.
Thank you.
Okay. I've got a question for the folks from McDonald's that are here. I know the city had done a traffic study, but has McDonald's done a traffic study?
Not the noise source. It's not the receiving end.
No, I think we were part of the traffic study that was done prior. That we used the city's traffic study.
Thank you.
And that data indicated that there were no necessary accommodations due to increased traffic. Is that correct, Bill?
Not relative specifically to the McDonald's development, perhaps at full build out of all the lots in the development.
But this particular development doesn't trigger any requirements based on the anticipated use or volume.
No, this development does not. With full development, probably.
Okay.
I have a comment on that. Part of our discussions with the rezoning of the farmland to the west, which is in Davenport, the Amesbury exit on 53rd was a pretty controversial issue because of the dangerous intersection of the neighbors trying to get out there. And one of the solutions was that they're putting a light in with that development, which I know Bill and we talked about.
That's correct.
I would have some concerns if you're creating a similar traffic hazard at the Falcon and 53rd intersection that you already have today at the Amesbury. 53rd, which is just a half mile to the west. And obviously, it's probably not part of tonight's full discussion, but it seems that there should be some more evaluation done in that area. I hate to have somebody get killed trying to get out in the 53rd in that area for no initiative to increase that.
Yeah, the traffic impact study is intended to take a look at the development coming in, the existing streets, and what improvements are needed based on certain conditions. And those conditions primarily are delays. What is the delay accessing 53rd? What is the delay accessing 18th Street? Based on the traffic generated by that particular development. Amesbury, is not a collector, it's a major local street. It funnels a lot of traffic from the various subdivisions to the south onto 53rd. Again, they're looking at delay. They're not looking and when you talk about delay, you're talking about safety because people get antsy, they want to get going. Okay, so they may take risks that are unnecessary or shouldn't be done. But as far as a traffic study is concerned, it looks at the delays and the ITE requirements for particular intersections, which allow a certain delay, obviously. And what they're indicating here is that the delay with full development at the intersection of Falcon and 53rd, a right turn lane, or in other words, another lane, so you have a through accessing 53rd to the left movement, and also a right turn movement is warranted. But nothing is warranted on 18th Street. That doesn't necessarily mean that the city wouldn't or shouldn't require it. But at this point in time, McDonald's does not trigger those warrants.
Did you say right after that before that McDonald's doesn't trigger those warrants
for a full build out? Full build out, yes. At Falcon, yes.
So this is going to trigger something.
That's right. That's right. Pardon me?
I mean, eventually, would it be like where Borders is, and they're constantly taking that turn lane and moving it back, and moving it back as more development comes in?
Well,
you're going to have to do something to control traffic.
Well, what I'm saying is what the study is indicating is that with full development, and that's anticipating what's going to happen in those five lots that are remaining. We're anticipating based on land use. If something lesser or more comes in, it should be looked at. And with this process, we'll require that it be done.
Just for clarification, what you're saying on lot 7 up there, there would need to be a right turn lane at full development.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're starting to run out of time, unfortunately. We've got another question.
Oh, yes, sir.
You had spoke about the idea of sound being an issue, and while you can control it to 60 decibels before 10 o'clock and 50 after 10 o'clock, yes, you can control the volume on the speaker on that box. However, if this is a restaurant that may turn into a 24-hour restaurant, you have no control over the traffic going in there, the motorcycles that are allowed, the people who will gather in the lots and have conversations, and some of them can become quite loud. And that you can't control the decibel ordinance on the speaker. So I think your vision is short-sighted if you're saying that, oh, the noise isn't going to be there, because they want to be busy. They're there to make a profit. And if they're open 24 hours, yes, all that traffic that's going in there will create noise that will stop people from having rooms open at night. And that is a burden down to keeping the air conditioning off, keeping property value down. And that is a liability for both the city and the property owner.
Okay. I think we're going to have to do something here. Either does anybody want to make a motion? Do we want to move this along? And
I will take a stab at it. Mr. Chairman, I move the case 11-022 and be approved but subject to the staff recommendations with the addition of McDonald's working with the city staff in constructing a visual screening on the southwest corner of the property. Now, and maybe you want to clean that up a little bit, Greg, because I think that's...
I think the intent's pretty clear. It's to try to intensify the screening or the buffering to the southwest corner of the lot.
Right.
Could I say that maybe to at least match what's to the east, so that we have some kind of a goal in mind?
Is that acceptable?
Yes, that is acceptable.
I would second that.
Second that motion. Any discussion on the motion?
Do we want to talk anything about limiting hours? Hours of operation. I'm not really.
I don't think that's within our jurisdiction.
Are we in a position to do that when we discuss a site plan?
I don't know that we are either.
I don't think it's part of the site plan, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think we're limited. I would just like to say I do sympathize, and if I had it within my power, I think I would say, you know, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or something, but it's not my power. So.
If I could interject, I would like Mr. Rafferty to sort of say if there's something in lieu like a retaining wall as opposed to the berm. You talked about matching something to the east. If the retaining wall met that same requirement for height, just to keep an option open.
Yeah, I didn't want to get into trying to design the berm, and that's why I don't think we said berm. I think we said screening, and so any way that we can match the screening that we would have or exceed what screening we have to the east, I think that's fine with us.
Okay, thanks.
And I think what I'm understanding in that whole context is the message I heard from the audience was that the screening on the eastern end appeared to be adequate, and if we met it on the western end, we'd be meeting that concern. So to that spirit of it, that's where I'm parked.
Okay. I'd just like to make a comment. While on the surface, this does meet all the current ordinances and everything, I think it's in the wrong spot in the wrong place in Bettendorf, and even prior to full development, I think we're going to have a big traffic problem.
I agree with that. I think this, unfortunately, our hands are tied.
Any other comments?
I'll just add my echo of those sentiments. These are the hardest decisions that we have to make when we know what the parameters are. The parameters are being met, but we empathize with your individual situations, and our hands are tied. So we do the best we can to provide as many accommodations that will be reasonable for the homeowners in the area. And I would like to think that with this is a major investment for McDonald's, and they want to be good neighbors and good citizens in Bettendorf. They're going to do everything they can to make the buffering the best possible. And that's, I think, the most we can ask for right now.
Yeah. Okay. Any further questions? Any input? I mean, no. And let's have a vote. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
One opposed, and the rest, I believe, are in favor, so therefore the motion carries. What can we do, what do you think, about this next one? Do you want to try to go forward, or?
I understand there's a meeting at 7 o'clock. For the people out there on the site plan, what will happen is now it will go to the city council, so watch the website or Channel 9, and you'll see it on the agenda. It will probably come up at the July 5th meeting of the city council if you want to come in and talk to the council at that time. Mr. Chairman, on item number 7, I think I can do that in 30 seconds if Greg will let me talk. Basically, a few years ago, the city removed residential uses out of C5. We're not asking to change that. Number 7. I'll give Greg number 6 in a second, but while the people are leaving.
Okay.
What has happened is all of these residential units that are in C5 now are deemed non-conforming uses, and because they're non-conforming uses, they're having problems in refinancing their properties, and their concerns about what if they want to expand a porch or do minor remodeling of the property. To try and resolve that problem, we can either rezone all of these properties, which is difficult getting everybody to sign a petition saying, I want to rezone the entire neighborhood, or we can simply go back and fix the ordinance, and that's what staff is recommending. We're asking that we simply grandfather in, as permitted uses, all residential in the C5 that existed as of September 19, 2006. We've prepared an ordinance to that effect. We're going to take it to the council, but we would like to have P&Z approval of an attempt to fix a problem that we ourselves created.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions about that?
Seems pretty logical.
So I have a motion to recommend to City Council the approval of the ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That carries. The last item on the agenda is case 11025880 Lincoln Road, submitted by Great Western Properties, LLC. Can you give me a quick staff report?
Mr. Chairman, this location can be reached by coming up Kimberly, going down Kimberly, and then coming through Middle as well as Lincoln to get to this site. As part of the plan, this area here, this current drive is going to be blockaded. This is the petitioner's parcel here. You're looking at Lincoln Road. This is a view looking at this parcel and the area that will be used for the Pizza Ranch restaurant. This gives you a general idea of the lot area outline in red, with access still maintained from the circular area here, this roundabout, onto this particular parcel. And this will show you the parcel outline as proposed on the current plat shops at Duck Creek First Edition. This is the restaurant here. I figure give you a close-up showing the restaurant area here. They've already received a special use permit for this drive-up window. Access to come down essentially from here into the lot, the access here that is currently existing to be done in, sealed off. Access again available over in this direction right here into the particular site. This is the landscape plan showing all of the vegetation that all met the requirements essentially for landscaping that particular development. This will give you a visual of it as to the way that it will look. And then on the overhead, let's see if I can go to that. This essentially shows you the Pizza Ranch from the different variety of angles. Staff, in looking at this, supports the petitioner's request with the conditions that are in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Yeah, go ahead. Greg, you said the existing entrance kind of bisects that parking lot is going to be blockaded. What does tell me what that means from the street? Is there still going to be a cutout there, or is it just going to be totally blocked off?
This is going to be filled in. The cut, I believe, this will be taken out by the petitioner.
Yeah, that will no longer be an access point.
Okay, so it won't be confusing to anybody. They're not going to. Okay, and then a second question. When we talked earlier about the building that's being developed on the corner, there was some discussion about parking between the two buildings and shared parking and easements. Can you elaborate a little bit on how that's being laid out here?
And just footnote on that, too, because my recollection when we talked, that's the school, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Was
Upper
that,
Iowa.
That they would have kind of alternating hours of operations, and a lot of times the school would be at night, and now we've got a restaurant with night use, so that's kind of where I'd like to hear it addressed as well.
There'd be cross easements, agreements to share the parking between the two sites, and as long as those are there, and we looked at the parking for both sites, we looked at it and said it met the required number of spaces.
To the east of the Pizza Ranch building is parking.
Yes.
Is there potential for another building to be put on that site at some point eventually?
I don't know if the developer overall has intent for that. When we did this overall site plan for this area, I don't know that there were any buildings or structures included in that area. And again, they'd have to meet all the parking requirements and whatnot to have a building there.
But you're using overlap for the parking. That was my concern with Upper Iowa. You know, like if you add another building, are you going to do the same thing and use overlap, with the building?
They again would have to meet the requirements. I don't know. We'd have to look at the circumstances for that. But again, we're aware of that. And then the original intent for the whole total build out, there was no building shown in that area.
Yeah, Pizza Ranch does a lunch and evening meal, don't they? So it's could be 11 o'clock till
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I got to ask right now, after our last discussion with McDonald's, where's the squawk box and where's the queue for the drive-in or drive-through? Because it looks like the drive-through is the little nub that sticks out. Drive-through, it says, I'm looking at the more enlarged site plan. And then, so where do they order, and does that queue and traffic for the drive-through go past the front entrance then?
I believe the developer is here, or his engineer could address that question.
I just carry out one though.
Jason Holdorf with Missman, representing the owner. It's just a pickup window. It's not an order as well. Just strictly pickup window.
Okay.
Jason, maybe you could answer the, am I looking at this right? Is the dumpster in the front of the building?
The dumpster is there on the southeast corner of the building.
Where's right. The front? Which?
The front is actually, the front door is on the northwest corner of the building. It's kind of difficult to see on that. And it's.
Thank you.
You bet.
Greg, can you explain the traffic flow coming into this from the circle area? I'm a little bit concerned about.
You mean from this direction?
Yes.
I believe again, it's in this area. If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Holdorf can confirm.
Greg, do you have a full site plan of the entire site that you might be able to put up? And
no, I don't.
I'm not sure if I have one either on that. It would probably help you out.
Well, I guess what I'm concerned about is we have a roadway or an access point there coming in from that circle. At the same time, you've got a way to get out of the parking lot from coming from the school, and it's basically you're right in front of the people coming in. It doesn't seem to me that it's. It's going to be. I think we're going to have a mess right there. I guess is what I'm concerned about. There needs to be some more definition or something. You see what I'm saying? If you have people coming out of the school's lot, and they're trying to make a left-hand turn, the front of their car is already into the roadway coming out of that circle. Somebody coming out is going to pull up. It's very confusing drawing. And you know, if you look at the landscape plan, it's different. The landscaping plan shows that road blocked off.
And the landscape plan was not updated to take into account the added leg back in. Those were per comments. That we did add that south leg back in to the project. Trying to accommodate that.
I can just see somebody pulling up to be even with the face of one of those islands, thinking he's okay, he's still in his lane, and all of a sudden he turns and there's a guy coming right at him.
Greg, could you put up the landscape plan in the picture? And then maybe if the engineer could just reference that, is there a driveway coming now off of the circle to the south?
That is correct.
And if you went up to Greg's monitor, you could just draw in a couple of lines to show where that driveway would go.
And so the, to your point, Greg, the heavier line on the roundabout is curb, and then where it's faint would be open?
Yeah. And Greg can show you
Jason,
how to
show you where that goes.
If he's coming out here, the guy's in the right there in the middle.
We've had years of experience with this thing.
If you would go up to the site plan.
So you can see what.
So that's cut in right there.
So then it's different than the one we're looking at.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That's not correct, I don't think. I believe.
That looks good, though.
Color very well.
Yeah, that
the
would
lines.
Be better than what we have. The site plan that we have, if you go to F.
This is the. Sleeve we're coming in.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes, that's what you show.
Here. What you're saying
on F.
Are coming out
of that's what I'm concerned about.
So can you show with. Continue your good drawing. If I'm coming out of Upper Iowa. And I want to exit there. How do I leave?
Most likely would probably be exiting out to the Kimberly Road entrance.
There is an entrance on Kimberly?
Yeah, there's an entrance on Kimberly right
there. So as a student at Upper Iowa, why would I even want to cut through here? Because it's like.
Well, if you're parked down here in the corner, you'd go that way.
Yeah, but it's like demolition derby.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I would go on Kimberly.
Yeah. If you're wanting to go Middle Road and head east, you might.
these will go away.
But you'd have to go, if you were over there, then you'd actually cross
the
parking lot.
I don't think it's up to us to determine how people are going to use the parking lot.
No.
I just know that we have a mess across the road.
We do.
And I don't want to do that here. And I see people that would think they're safe pulling out to the corner of that island, and they're not, because you've got traffic coming right at them. I think that needs to be worked on.
Would you possibly suggest closing this here so that this island...
Yeah, exactly.
And then leaving this open here so that there can be the crossing.
Get them away from where the circle.
Right, right. That's all it would take.
I'd be good with that.
That's fine.
It's a little more curb.
So how will that affect parking and all that?
Well, I'll have to look at that.
I don't think you, I think they just curve that one and extend those islands. I don't think you're going to change parking at all.
I think the amount of parking would stay the same that way, and just I believe Pete's Ranch would probably be fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, well, hopefully they can change that parking, or I'm sorry, that traffic pattern in there, because it is kind of helter-skelter. Do we want to move it on, subject to the working on that between now and City Council?
With that change,
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would move to approve case 11025, the site development plan for 880 Lincoln Road, subject to staff recommendations and making that change.
Second that.
Now, when you say making that change,
closing off that entrance,
or something similar, I guess something that solves the problem. I mean, that was kind of a
we can work with staff
quick on drawing. That. So okay, all right. So I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, we're adjourned.